Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Edward Beasley, and I'm a PhD student at the Institute of Plant Breeding, Genetics, and Genomics at the University of Georgia. Just a little bit of background about my experience. I worked for the University of Georgia Extension for around 6 years, and I'm recently employed as a research plant pathologist while doing my PhD simultaneously. So, under Dr. Chu's program, part of my research is screening germplasm for resistance to FOV in Georgia. So I'm going to cover that today, discuss that with you. And before I actually get into talking about the data and the trial itself, I want to go over some of the points I feel like are important that makes Fusarium an important disease of Georgia. So, of course, the causal agent of the disease is Fusarium oxysporum vas infectum, and I'll refer to it as FOV throughout the presentation. Races that we typically deal with in Georgia are associated with nematode damage. And from recent research, I think there's a misconception that root knot nematode is always the issue in relationship to infection. We've actually found fields where sting is way more prevalent than root knot. So sting could be more of an issue with that infection than we originally thought. So in Georgia, significant yield loss can occur in some fields every year. It's not necessarily a broad spectrum pathogen, but to those fields, it can be very aggressive and very damaging for a grower. So no significant management options available for control of the pathogen in particularly, but of course there's options to control nematodes. It definitely doesn't solve the issue entirely. Here is a graph from De Silva et al., which was published this year in Plant Disease, and these are some of the races that were detected in Georgia as of 2015 and 2016. As you can see, we have some diversity, but the more prevalent race is race one, of course. Moving on. So, as I said before, we've detected that there's more sting in some fields than actually root knot. So, we did a survey, or Michelle did a survey, and this is also published in Plant Disease. And it seemed that in a lot of fields that had FOV infection, there was a actual indication that there was sting with no root knot. Some of it occurred simultaneously. And not saying to rule root knot out entirely, because that's not the point, but we could have fields with sting infection and FOV without a root knot entirely. So moving on, just some pictures just showing you some of the fields, some of the problems that we have in Georgia, and bringing you to the real-world aspect on what we face with Fusarium in Georgia. So this is a field from Berrien County, and this is actually a root knot nematode resistant variety in this field. Not really sure what was going on, but it was definitely a Fusarium infection. So I think there's a lot of things that we don't know, but it really does hint to the fact that host resistance to FOV is very important. So typically in Georgia, most of the symptoms that we see are in older plants. It's more of a mid-season disease and early season in Georgia, or has been in the past. So some of the symptoms that you'll see are chlorosis, necrosis of leaves, wilting, stunting, plant death in some serious situations, and of course poor fruit retention. Here's some pictures just showing you how severe it can be. And this disease can be overlooked to some degree, so it's not always a kill the plant scenario. So you still can tell that there's a lot of yield loss if you look down to your right. So more so than not, we're starting to see more of these type symptoms in Georgia, which we haven't seen in the past. So, of course, Fusarium can affect the plant at any stage, but until recently, this has not been the biggest issue. And looking at these pictures, you can see just how devastating it can be. The most indicative symptom of FOV or Fusarium wilt would be vascular staining, and it can present itself, this way or just slightly veering in the vascular tissue. But to do a field diagnostic, that's generally what you look for. So our research objectives in the trial was essentially to evaluate 450 lines of germplasm for resistance to FOV and then identify which lines will be carried on in the screening process. So the the 450 lines that we screen, that's including checks, of course, but you could compare, if you listened to the presentations yesterday, that this is more of a condensed version of what screening process went out in Texas. So we were very fortunate to find a cooperator just south of Tifton in a town called Brookfield. This cooperator has been dealing with fusarium wilt for many years, and he was more than willing to let us rent a piece of property to do the screening process. So it's a naturally infested field. This is 1999, so these are some aerial photos just to kind of show you the progression of the disease over time, how severe it is in this field. So you go 1999 to 2005. So this is an aerial picture of the cotton in this field where we're actually doing the screening process. And if you look down to the bottom right, this is the area that's probably the worst in the field over time. So moving on in 2015, you can see that there's still, you know, high mortality from the disease. So, of course, as we've heard in other presentations, as many as you know, once you have fusarium, it's not going anywhere. And a typical management practice would be to rotate for many years to 7+, and that's just not feasible for any of our growers. So here's an aerial shot of the actual plot. So we replicated 450 lines across four blocks. And even now, you can see that there's definitely more disease prevalent in block two. So that particular block was fairly uniform with the pathogen, and it's a lot more disease in that area than the rest of the plot. This is about a month and a half after planting also. So what I want to show you now is some heat maps that we put together. This is actually frequency of disease plants. So the green boxes would be zero up to purple, which is above 50 plants that were infected in each plot. If you look down to the right, you can see the key describes different checks. So the black boxes are actually plots that didn't germinate. The X's are one of our controls, M315, and the boxes that are outlined in black is our susceptible control routing. And we place these within our replications to somewhat of a calibration of where fusarium was in the field. And I didn't take data from all four blocks, so I took data from the first and the second block just for sake of time, just to show you a comparison of the differences that we saw. So this is our first rating on August 8th, 2018. And we had some disease to start off with, and it progressed on into September 5th was our last rating. So we had disease incidents in this block, but it wasn't near as severe as we would like to have been. So as I said, disease was very active in this block. This is our first rating. So we already have plots that are over 50 plants with disease. So moving on into our second rating, and on into our third rating. So by the end of the rating, this area was fairly uniform and a lot of mortality. So you have a lot of plots with more than 50 plants. But luckily, we were able to select 29 entries within this block that had two or less plants with disease. And not only was it consistent within this block, but it was consistent in all four blocks. So these 29 entries look fairly promising, possibly showing some tolerance or resistance. Could be some spots where the inoculum level wasn't too high or other environmental factors, but looking at the disease incidence within this block, it's safe to say that these have, you know, potential. So to really evaluate to see if the pathogen was actually active on a lot of the plants, we did vascular discoloration ratings as well on all the 29 lines. And how we did this was we actually harvested and cut each plant in these plots and collected data as far as if the plant actually had vascular staining. We didn't rate the severity of the staining itself, but we counted plants that had any vascular discoloration whatsoever. So these numbers could look a little skewed, but just know that this is a percentage of the plot that has staining And it could have been, as you look to the top picture to the right, just the discrete discoloration confined to a few vessels. So if you look to the left on the entries, I've highlighted four in green. These entries in particular had very low incidence of vascular discoloration. And the discoloration that they had was very discrete, almost none whatsoever. So this could potentially propose that these have some high tolerance or resistance in these lines. Which brings me to my conclusion. You know, field screening for FOV resistance is challenging due to the nature of the pathogen. So, you know, the nature of the pathogen to be more aggregated and patchy throughout the field. So finding a uniform field is very hard. Luckily, we had an area within our field that was fairly uniform. So when you have that, susceptible genotypes can be identified fairly easy. So with that being said, we feel 20-line lines are potentially tolerant or resistant to FOV. And that includes several elite breeding lines from public breeding programs. What we would like to do to move forward would be to start greenhouse trials to confirm field results by inoculation. And we'll also take those lines that we feel may have potential, take them back to the same location and actually replicate that within that second block that's high inoculum level. So, and simultaneously, we'll evaluate it for productivity and fiber quality. When we actually took the vascular staining ratings and took the samples, we also isolated FOV from each of those samples. So we're hoping to race ID those isolates and see the differences of races in the field, within the field, and see if there's any differences in infection. And last but not least, we hope to make some crosses to determine the inheritance of resistance and to hopefully stack positive alleles to enhance that resistance also. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge my funding from Cotton Incorporated Fellowship Program. I'd like to acknowledge Dr. Ping Chi, my advisor, Dr. Nelson Suasuna from Embrapa, who was a visiting scientist and essentially a godsend. He helped me through a lot of this project, so I owe it to him. Dr. Bob Kimwright from UGA, Dr. Richard Davis from USDA, and Dr. Sandra Shin from FMC Corp. But with that, I'd take any questions.
Any questions for Edward?
Okay.
I have a quick question.
Okay.
So do you have any insights about the nematode pressure in the site that you identified?
So yes, we actually took nematode samples within the plot. So I took, I believe, 900 samples, all samples from block one and block two. I'm not entirely finished with reading the samples yet. But it does seem that there's higher nematode pressure in block two. So we were able to find sting and root knot in that field. So
a related question, the genotypes that you identified resistant to the Fusarium, do you see that they're also might have any resistance to the nematodes?
That we're not sure of yet.
Thank you.
What the race is it?
We're not sure. We're assuming it's race one, but we're definitely going to find out which races are in the field through sampling.
Thank you.